So I'm going to continue today talking about knowing God. This year, theme is know, grow, and go. And when I say we need to know God, I realize that most of you have a good and growing relationship with Him, that you do know Him. What I wanted to do last week was really to stir you up and to remind you of His goodness in the past to you. I wanted you to think back to those early days of giving your heart to Jesus, of surrendering your life to Him, and the nearness that you felt. For some of you, that was for me. That was like 35 years, 40 years ago, you know. For some of you, that was like 3 weeks ago. For some of you, it was like last year. For others, it was 10 years ago. Whatever, but don't ever lose that passion that you had at that time. Now, when I think about the word passion for me, right? I was laughing because when I put my offering in, when I worship God, I'm always a little bit overzealous, right? I'm just like screaming, veins popping out of my head. I just want to worship God with my whole heart. Put my offering envelope in. It's a bit sweaty, boys. Sorry about that. But that's, you know, like I'm just passionate about that. But I realize not everybody is an emotional person. I realize not everybody is just moved with emotion. But if you're a person that's moved by knowledge, then you should be passionate about learning about God. You should be passionate. I started reading this book by David Limbaugh called Christ Jesus on Trial. And it's just really a good look from a lawyer's point of view about what Jesus did, what his life looked like through the four Gospels, and if it stands up to a legal test. So if you're an intellectual person and you don't get all like, oh, Jesus, I love you, then get into a good book. Get into your Bible. Dig in. Find knowledge. Be passionate. If you're a works person, if that's how you express your passion, then get to work for God. Use what you have. But I think one of the most important measures for us that we need to be asking ourselves is, where is my passion level? Am I just becoming ho-hum, humdrum, oh yeah, whatever, you know, yeah, the cross, that's cool, you know, whatever? Or am I still passionate about my walk with Jesus? And however you express that, express it in your way. But you should be expressing a passion for God. And we either by studying, you know, by really, you know, if you're intellectual and you need to prove to yourself and everybody that Jesus really did live, Jesus really did die, Jesus really did save us from our sin, then get out, read some books, learn, study God's word. Work if you're a works person. Cry, weep, mourn, do whatever if you're an emotional person. Like, I'm all blue. I don't know if you'd ever done the colors test, but I'm a blue, like, through and through. I got no other color in me. I'm just like, oh, Jesus, I love you. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand people that are like, I got to know. I'm like, I know, I can feel him. You know? Anyway, I don't know if that matters to you, but it mattered to me. I was also thinking, sorry for the trained attack bugs we have here. These little flying ladybugs. I was worshiping God, and I had one flying behind my glasses. I was like, Jesus. Anyway, Lord, we come. Lord, and as we look at your word this morning, Lord, we want to grow. We want to know you more. Lord, we don't ever want to decide that enough's enough. But Lord, we want to get to know you more and more and more and more every day. Lord, we want to open up every door of our heart, every door of our life, so that you could feel free to come in. Lord, that you could do what you want to do in us. You could say what you want to say to us. You can move us. We'll go where you say go, do what you say do. But Lord, Holy Spirit, today we ask you to reveal yourself today through the word. Lord, let it impact our hearts greatly. Let us leave here, Lord, different than we came. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all came to Jesus in different ways. And I said this the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's really important to remember. We generally do not come to Jesus because we have it all together. We do not generally come to Jesus because all our whole life is in order and everything is great. A lot of times we come to Jesus because we're going through something. Because we've had a trial. Because we've had some thoughts that are plaguing us. Like I was reading again. I was reading this book this week, and I was thinking about, you know, this guy's an intellectual, and he was struggling with the whole idea of how could a loving God have this earth that we have. And he's just like talking through it and working through it and trying to, you know, but he was drawn to God because of the controversy that was going on in his head. There was conflict going on. And most of us came to the Lord through conflict, whether we were just tired of the life we were living, whether we were going to die if we didn't find Jesus, whether we were just broken, whatever way we came to him. And he drew us to him. He called us toward him. And we were reading about David, who in Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, said, I waited patiently for the Lord's help. And he listened to me and heard my cry. He pulled me out of a dangerous pit, out of a deadly quicksand. He set me safely on a rock and made me secure. He taught me to sing a new song, a song of praise to our God. Many who see this will take warning and will put their trust in him. That's a beautiful thing. I was just thinking about when John was given that word this morning about someone here is all tied up in chains, right? Or you're in a prison cell and you've had the chain taken off, but you're free to go. This is what David was talking about. He was in a pit. He was chained in. And sometimes, be honest, right? When John gave that word this morning, were you thinking about someone who was addicted or something like that, like somebody who's doing something really bad and now they're free? So that's where my head goes a lot of times. When someone gets a word like that, it's somebody's got some secret sin and, you know, maybe they murdered three people or I don't know, whatever. But I was thinking, and God really spoke to me, you know, because there's some things that I get stuck in. Every winter, I struggle with like getting down because of no sun. And even while I was thinking about, you know, all the bad things someone might have done and why John was given that word, God was speaking to me and saying, you're free. You can have freedom from that. You don't have to live with that. You don't have to keep walking in that. You can be free. Whatever your pit is today, whatever you're struggling with today, God wants to set you free. He wants to lift you out of that pit. He wants you to sing a new song to him. He wants that song to really see, to let people see his goodness and his glory so that their lives could be changed by you, with God working through you. So we found out about the love of God because of a longing in our hearts, because there was something missing, a feeling that something was missing. And as we came to know him more, then we allowed him to be the Lord of our life. We allowed him more space in our life. We allowed him a place. We opened a door so that he could come in. And the same is true for us now as we keep walking with the Lord. If we want to grow closer to the Lord, if we want to know him more, as we come to know him more, we're going to grow more in our passion and our fervor for him, and he's going to change us more. Knowing God more equals surrendering to him more, right? And the more we know God, the more we will be willing to surrender our lives to him. I think it's beautiful, and this verse has come up last week. It came up at midweek Bible study. This week it's coming up again this morning because it's a beautiful verse found in Acts chapter 17. It says, from one human being he created all races of people and made them live throughout the whole earth. He himself fixed beforehand the exact times and the limits of the places where they would live. He did so that they would look for him and perhaps find him as they felt around for him. Yet God is actually not far away from any of us. As someone has said, in him we live and move and exist. And it's, as some of the poets have said, we too are his children. So like, just to be loved by God enough that he would put us in a place that if we just felt for him, if we just searched around, you know, if we just, even with our eyes closed, we could just reach out, that we would bump into him. Whether on purpose or by accident, we could find our way to God because he's never, ever far away from us. Think of how beautiful that is. Think about how much God loves us. Think about how you came to Christ. Think about how that, you know, just by reaching out and feeling, touching, reaching, trying to find that thing that would fill the heart. You found him because he's drawn near to you. He's never far away from you. Even when you were in the deepest parts, the deepest darkness in your life, he was never, ever far away. He was waiting for you to just reach out and touch him. Feel for him. And then it says, I love this last verse. It says, even as it is as some of the poets have said, we too are his children. We're his children. It seems the scripture says that God puts us in a place that if we could find him, if we could find him if we just felt our way around a bit. He isn't far away from us. He's hanging out really close to us so we could just reach out and touch him. And then not only does he just want us to touch him, not does he only just want us to see him at work, but he's actually called us his sons and his daughters. I don't know. I grew up in a really good home. I have to be so thankful to God, because I think that sometimes I take for granted how much I was loved as a child. I take for granted how much I understand the whole idea of sonship and how I understand the idea of father and mother, parent, you know, setting in my home. I'm blessed beyond measure. Thank you. It's amazing. But we are called to be sons and daughters of God. Like, think about it. I still love if my sons come up, even though they're cool now and they're older and they're bigger than me, taller. You know, my one son's kind of disrespectfully leans his head on elbow on top of my head and calls me shorty. But every time he does that, I just feel loved. I feel like he just wants to give me a hug, but he just doesn't want to show it, you know. I just feel loved by that. And I know that my kids feel loved by me. There's just this beautiful interaction between us and our kids. If you're a parent, you know this. But there's that same beautiful interaction that God wants to have with us once we've felt around for him and we've found him and we've got to know him and we've said yes to him. And now we're not strangers. He's not this great big being that's looking at us from a distance. But he's called us his children, sons and daughters. Like, I walk, and I'm thankful for Nick. Nick is my stepdad. But I could walk into their house. Like, I don't have to knock. I could walk in. He treats me like a son. I treat him like a father. Mom, you know, it's my mom and his house, and together, we live as a family. There's something beautiful about that open access to be able to walk in, turn the doorknob, and come in. How you doing today? I'm doing good. How you doing today? You know what? Having a bit of a hard day. This is the relationship now we can have with God, that he cares about us. If you have a kid, you know the care you have. If you've ever watched your kid suffer, be sick, maybe be bullied, be hurt by a friend at school, you know, and you take him in your arms, you say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Toughen up a little, you know. Do all that you have to do. And, you push them back out into the big, bad world, and you watch them go, and you watch with pride and with a sense of just knowing they're going to be okay. And that's what we do as parents. See, how many of you would like to have a child that you know nothing about? Like that won't tell you anything, won't communicate with you, won't express himself to you, won't, you know, and that you don't really know anything about him. You don't know anything about him. He doesn't even know anything about you because he never asked a question. Never. None of us would like that, right? For me, I love my boys. I want them to know, I want to know what they're thinking and what they're doing. I want to know them to know me. I want them to know my nature. I want them to know my personality, my care for them, my desire to help them. I want to impart wisdom to them. As a parent, don't we want to do that? Don't we want to impart wisdom? Don't we wish they would take our advice sometimes? Don't we know that if they would just listen to us, that they would do better? Amen. Preach it. I want to teach them to live disciplined lives. I want to help them build their lives on Christ and to do good and to live for eternity, for eternal things. I want them to learn from me to keep focused on what actually has value. There's so much that we do and so much energy we put toward things that have no value. I want them to learn from me to live for things that have value. I want them to see how a good father relates to his kids. I want them to watch how I build a home for them and Christine that's upbuilding and life-giving. I want them to watch me love their mother and help her to do the things that matter and be all that God has called her to be. I want them to know what really matters to me, what manner of man I am. I want them to feel safe with me and know that they can always come to me. I want them to know me. That's what I want. I want to know them. As a father, that's what I want for my kids. I want them to know me. I want to know them. Now, I want us to put this into the context of our relationship with God. As a father, don't you think he wants all those same things? Us to know his love and care for us. Us to him to lead us and guide us, to give us good advice, to impart wisdom to us, to help us to live for things that have value, keep focused on eternity, to provide a good, you know, home for us, a good family for us, teach us how to love each other. That's what God wants. He wants that for us so much. This is found in Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. And this is the Message Bible. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. Think about this. Jesus was talking to the people tenderly. When he spoke to them, he was speaking to us. So Jesus, speaking to you and to me tenderly, says, the Father has given me all things to do and to say. This is a unique Father-Son operation. Coming out of Father and Son, intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it, line by line, with anybody willing to listen. Are you willing to listen today? Do you want to be part of that Father and Son intimacy? Do you want to have a place in that family? This is what he says. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion, trying to strive to be good enough? He says, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Bob talked about that this morning. It's really important for us to rest in God. I don't want my kids to worry about every little thing. I want them to enjoy life and to rest, knowing that their Father has it taken care of to a degree. I want them to do what they have to do, but I want them to know I'm behind them 100% and they can rest in that. God wants us to know that. Walk with me. Will you walk with him? Work with me. Will you work with him? This is beautiful. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Walk with me. Work with me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. These are welcome to my world. Welcome to live and know me kind of words. These are words that say, come. He said it earlier in this verse, come to me. Come. He wants us to walk with him. You know, like I remember when my kids were little, I loved to plant trees. And I would drag the kids out. I think they enjoyed it. I don't think they felt tortured by it. But we'd go out and we'd get the wheelbarrow, we get a shovel, we get some, you know, peat moss, and we get some fertilizer, and we'd take the tree in the pot, and we'd go out into the yard somewhere, and I'd dig the hole because they were too light to, you know, get the shovel in the ground. But then we'd put it in, and we'd mix up all the dirt together, and we'd put the tree down in the hole, and we'd put the dirt around it together, and now they can plant trees. They learned how because we did it together. We walked together. They worked with me. They watched me, and they learned. And that's what Jesus is inviting us into in his kingdom, is to work with him and walk with him, learn how he did it. These are words spoken by Jesus to us. Why not accept the invitation? We should. We should accept it. I think that God will use you and me to walk with people for a while once we get to know him. I think there's nothing more beautiful than watching people walk with people. Watching people take up the cause and really just helping someone who's struggling have someone to help them, someone to teach them. I see it around this church so much in this past year where people have just taken responsibility for someone and said, I'm going to walk with you for a while. I'm going to teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. Watch how I do it. Learn from me. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He said, you must follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is maturity in God. It's when we grow up in him, we can help others grow up in him. This is the perfect, you know, deal. It's one generation praising his name to another generation and seeing God work through them. What a blessing some people are when they actually take their walk with Christ seriously enough to build a life of knowing God so that others could follow them in building a life of knowing God. Be that people. Live your life for God passionately so other people can follow you and live like you and know God. This is a verse I really don't like, but it's an important verse. Something that we should all think about. It's found in Matthew 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we force out demons and do miracles by the power and authority of that name? And then I will tell them publicly, I never knew you. Get away from me, evil people. It's horrible. It's a scary verse. It's something that I never would want to happen to anybody I know. I was watching a video this week by Francis Chan. Francis and Lisa pastored a church for a long time in California, and now they're doing more itinerant work. They're working with missions. They've gone around the world now. They just wrote a new book about marriage called You and Me Forever, Living Married Life in Light of Eternity. The whole idea of the book is to help your spouse to stand before God one day and have God say to them, well done, good and faithful servant, living beyond today, living beyond this world, and thinking about eternity as we live life together as couples. But she said, Lisa said something that really, really impacted me, resonated in my heart. She said, before you pray, take a few moments to think about who it is you're praying to. Just stop for a minute before you pray. Center yourself. Think about who we're praying to. Think about it. Is God just a genie in a lamp? Rub the lamp 3 times, the genie pops out, give me a wish. Is God our servant that we can order him around? Who is he? He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, creator of the whole world. He spoke and light was. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be dry ground, there was dry ground. He said, let there be stars, and stars came out of his mouth. The Psalms calls him the star breather. David called him in Psalms, the star breather. He's God, King of Kings. He's mighty. Do we actually think about who he is and approach him humbly? Or do we treat him like the drive-through window at Timmy's? I have a large double-double. This is the question. And I don't think most of us would do it by purpose. But many times, because we don't really think about who we're praying to, sometimes I think we take him too lightly. We don't show him the reverence and the awe that's worth his name. Is Lord, Lord just a password to us? Or is it a recognition of who we know God to be? So I just want to say this, because I started off saying this and I lost my train of thought. But I'm not teaching this lesson because I think anybody doesn't have a relationship with God or know God. I'm not trying to say Jubilee doesn't know God. One of the things I always try and teach parents and teenagers is whenever you want to deal with important things in your family, talk about them when things are good. Encourage things when they're good. Bring things up when things are going good and just encourage the right things. Like there's been times where, with my boys, and I'm sorry guys, you could beat me later, so I'm using you as an example quite a bit today. But like where I see sometimes a lack of passion or a lack of zeal, sometimes we'll just sit down and talk about it and say, just really want, you to be passionate or zealous. I want, if I see, trouble with their work ethic, I want to sit down and say, look, I could see you leaning this way. Let's work again. And I think like this is a reminder for all of us that we have a greater life that we can live as we know God more and more. So to hear the words, I never knew you, would be tragic. It would be horrible. But maybe people hear those words because we never knew him. Maybe people get to hear the words, I never knew you, because we never knew him. We need to know him. We need to keep growing in him. Maybe we should get to know him more. Trust him more. Come humbly before him more. Maybe we should take a few minutes to really take a look in the mirror and evaluate what we think about God and who he is and how we relate to him. It's really important. Stop once in a while. David keeps saying this word in Psalms, Selah, or Selah, or however you pronounce it, but it means to now stop and think about this. Stop and think about this. Stop. Once in a while, just think about it. I truly think that God wants us to come to him in prayer and present our needs to him. He has no objection with you saying, Lord, I have this problem. I need help. So when I say treating him like the drive-through window at Timmy's, I'm not saying don't ask him for help, but come humbly before him. Ask him for help. The Bible teaches us cover to cover that He'll help us. He'll come to our rescue. He'll save us. He'll redeem us. He'll bless us. Cover to cover, it's all there all the time. But we need to approach God with humility. It teaches us to respect and reverence God. God is inviting us into a relationship with him. He wants us to get to know him, to understand who he is, to know him, to know what he's like and what he's not like. Just like I said, I want my kids to know me. God wants to know us in that way. He wants us to know him. I'm a friend of, there's about five or six pastors in town that we meet together every week. And before, I remember for years, if people came and told me something about another pastor in town, I'd be like, well, I don't know. I don't know him. But now if someone tells me something about one of my friends that I know is not true, I'd be like, that guy's my friend, and you're wrong. Let's go talk to him. I know you're wrong because I know him. And we need to know God like that. We need to know that God is who he says he is in his word. Over and over again, he invites us to fellowship with him and to read his word so we can know him. I have a short video there. If you could hit that, that'd be great. Thank you. We need God, and if we don't, we're sadly mistaken, but there's people around us that need him. They need us to love him. They need us to live passionately for him. We so often come to God in our time of need, as we just saw in this video, you know, people struggling, going through stuff, and they come to God. And even as we walk with the Lord, even as so many of us have surrendered our life to God, so many times we put God on the shelf for a while, or we become less focused on our walk with him until we enter a time of struggle again. What would it be like if, instead of just, you know, letting our hearts grow cold, what would it be like if, instead of, you know, just being nonchalant about our faith just because times are good, what would it be like if we stayed passionate? What would it be like if we stayed focused? What would it be like if we just kept building and knowing God? I think we could change the world. Have that same heart, that same desire to grow as we had when we were pulled out of that pit. This is what it says in Hosea 6:6. I don't want your sacrifices. This is God speaking. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. So many times we want to appease God. So many times we want to do the easy stuff, I think. I think the easiest thing to do is write a check. I think the easiest thing to do sometimes is to go volunteer. The hardest thing to do sometimes is just to sit with God's word in our lap. And just be quiet and listen and let him speak and work in us. God wants your heart more than he wants your sacrifice. He wants to know you and you to know him more than he wants your offerings. God is all about relationship, and he wants to fellowship with us. Will you give him what he wants? I think that's my question this morning more than ever, is will you keep stepping into a relationship with him? Will you keep seeking him? Revelation 3, verse 19 to 22, and this is written to the church at Laodicea. And it's really a church that was lukewarm. But I just want to go to the end of it, to the cure. Because I don't think that the cure will hurt any of us. I don't think that we have to be lukewarm to hear what the end of this verse, this section to the church at Laodicea is saying. It says, the people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they'll live at their best. Isn't that what we do? That's what I've been explaining as being a father. It's what I do. I call to account, I prod, I correct, I guide so that we as God's people will live right. So it says, up on your feet then, about face, run after God. Look at me, Jesus saying, I stand at the door and knock. This is to believers. Jesus is knocking at your door daily. I remember a bunch of the guys in the church did this this little video called Neighbor Kid, right? And this little neighbor kid's always coming over, and he's always there, always there, always there, and everybody wants him to go away. And I think sometimes we treat God like that. He's the neighbor kid that keeps knocking on the door. You want to come out. You want to have some time together, and you're like, go away, neighbor kid, right? Well, God wants to have a relationship with us. He keeps knocking at the door of our heart. He said, I knock. If you hear me, call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Wouldn't that be beautiful? It can be beautiful like that every day. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I have conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to conquerors. Are your ears awake? I like the way he says that. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. God has a desire for you and I to live well, to live in his presence, to know him, to learn from him, to work with him, to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And he wants us to learn how to live life with the right priorities, to live life in his way. And he seems like in this verse he wants to do it over a meal with us. Now, isn't that like the most kind of best fellowship you could have, is sitting around a meal together? Like, do most people invite people they don't like to a dinner with them at their house? Most people invite some of their better friends to come and eat, right? Well, that's what God's inviting to us, to a meal. He doesn't want to be set at a distance, but he wants to be welcomed in. He wants you to be a conqueror. He doesn't want you to second guess every decision you make. He wants you to know him, hear his voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. He wants you to know. He wants to know if your ears are awake and are listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Are your ears awake? Are you hearing what he's saying to the church today, to you today, to me today, to Jubilee today? Are you hearing? He wants to do a good work through you. The Spirit is working. Are you hearing? In James 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So how do we get to know God? How do we actually get to know him? Like, we've been talking a lot about knowing him, but how do we get to know him? I'm going to be done real soon, so don't panic. I'm not starting a new message. We need to spend time with him. We need to pray. We need to open his word. We need to be quiet and listen. Right? Because God's speaking today. He speaks today. God's speaking through his word. God's speaking through others. But God will actually speak to you. I can't say I've heard God speak every day to me, but I can tell you about some days where he really did speak to me. And those were life-changing days. When we don't need to be afraid to listen to God. We don't need to be afraid that if we hear him speak to us, that we're loopy, that we're crazy, that we're ready for the dinner jacket, white dinner jacket with the long sleeves, you know. This is not what it's about. The Holy Spirit's work in us is to speak to us, to remind us, to build us, to give us, you know, his ideas and thoughts, to tell us about what he has for us. Jesus tells us how we can get to know him. This is what he says in John 14. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you would have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you will know him. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you for such a long time, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. So this verse is talking all about, if you want to know God, know Jesus. And Jesus' life is so clearly spelled out through the Gospels. You can find out everything you want to know about Jesus if you read the Gospels. If you read the whole New Testament, you'll find out more about him. If you go into the Old Testament, you can find out about Jesus. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. It's not hard to know God. We need to open up. We need to hear what he's saying to us. So here's what I want you to do to get to know God better. I think that it would be good for all of us, again, to read through the book of John. John really is, like the Bible said, the disciple that Jesus loved. He's the one that was kind of the relational guy in the group. And I think he tries to capture a good bit of what Jesus was like. And just so read through John. This, you know, if you can, over the next week or two, read through. Looking for what God is like. So when you're reading through John, ask yourself the question, what is God like? If I could see God the Father through Jesus, what is he like? What is his character? What is his way? How do I get to know him? What can you see about God through what Jesus does and how he acts? Secondly, take time to pray each day. But before you pray, some of you might not have like a great prayer life. Some of you might not pray every day. Some of you might only just say, hey, God, or help me, or whatever. But if you could, try and take at least 5 minutes a day and pray over this next few weeks. Take longer if you're, you know, you have a regular life of prayer. But before you pray, take some time to just stop and think about who it is you're praying to. Think about God. Think about who he is, what he's like. You're reading through the book of John, you can start to see. So think about that. And just start building some time into getting to know God. Invest some time in your relationship with him. Okay? It's good? All right, Lord. Lord, we thank you. I ask you, Lord, today, more than all, to reveal, Lord, to us our relationship with you, your relationship with us. Help us to know you, Father. Help us to know, Lord, that we are your children. Lord, that we don't have to come, Lord, sniveling and groveling to you. But Lord, your word says we can come boldly into your throne room and find grace to help in our time of need. Lord, that we can know you, whom to know is life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the relationship that you've set up. Lord, I just pray that over this course of this year, Lord, over the course of the rest of our lives, Lord, that we will spend, Lord, our lives getting to know you more and more. Lord, I pray as, Lord, more and more of you is revealed, Lord, that we'll be able to, Lord, shine that light of your love toward other people more and more. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.